More of Lake Effect Now. I'm Mitch Tyke.
And I'm Bonnie North. Thanks so much for joining us today. We talk about music every month with internationally renowned cellist Robert Cohen. He's the cellist for the Milwaukee-based Fine Arts Quartet.
It's a segment called On That Note, and it examines the life of a working professional classical musician.
This month, we take on the great nemesis of musicians everywhere, long-distance travel. Cohen says it's a little like being a gypsy.
Yeah, just flying about all the time. I mean, never being in one place for very long. And, you know, that's quite disorientating. It takes me, I would say, several days to adjust to being somewhere new. And very rarely do I have that time. So I have kind of techniques, I suppose, for trying to feel a bit more stable. You know, when I arrive somewhere, it doesn't matter if it's the middle of the night, I need to take a walk and just go around and see which shops are there, you know, whether there's a pharmacy or whether there's a bank or which restaurants. It doesn't matter if they're closed. I just need to orientate myself because, you know, when you're traveling, you're moving not only just from place to place, but you're very often moving from season to season, for instance.
And culture to culture.
And very much so, yeah. So you have this sense that, you know, you've got to adjust very quickly and what you see around you makes a big difference. And I think that I just find that absolutely necessary. And actually also what's in my room. You know, there's a strange feeling when you travel that when you get into a hotel room, that you're in a box, could be floating around in space. Nobody knows where you are, really. You don't know where you are. You're just in this box. I learned, actually, when I was about 17, I went away to do a cello competition. And I stayed in this hotel and there were cellists in every single room in the hotel. I had actually gone with a friend who was also competing. I was 17 and I felt really lonely and I just didn't really understand how I should feel good in order to play well for the competition. And I went to see my friend in his room down the corridor and his room was so nice. And I realized that what he'd done was he'd taken his things around the room. So he put the cello on the bed, for instance. You know, the cello is very, it's so familiar. And he'd put just things of his on the sideboard and, you know, and it felt like some sort of home. And my room was just clinical, you know, just a hotel room. So I learned very quickly that just affected me and I needed to take things with me.
So what do you bring? What kinds of things? Because you don't want to carry too much weight,
oh,
I would
imagine.
Oh, you're
not kidding.
Yeah.
I used to carry around an album of a small album of my family photos and that would be out. And then even just things like clothes or just music, instead of leaving it in my case, I'd put it somewhere I could see it. And also I discovered that smells are really important. So lavender is a great one because it connects me with our first child was born because the midwife said to my wife, if you have a lavender bath, it'll heal you and you'll feel really good. And so that smell reminds me of our firstborn. And so now I just take a little thing of essential lavender oil and I drip it on somewhere on the pillow. And that smell just, well, I mean, it grounds me in a way.
It's that grounding, I think, that's so important. You mentioned earlier about how do you feel good when you're constantly on the move, not in your own space, and yet you need to perform, and you need to perform in a way that isn't holding anything back. You need to be utterly present to give that audience what they've come to hear. And so finding those ways of making yourself able to be present is so key.
People quite often ask me, do you have a kind of ritual before you go on the platform? And it's very hard. I would like to have a ritual. It almost never happens because, you know, what happens is in the last few minutes before you go on, the orchestra, if you're playing a concerto with orchestra, for instance, you always have, it's guaranteed, all the French horn players will be warming up outside the soloist's dressing room, really, really loud in the corridor. So you're getting just blasted out. And I mean, it's no question of keeping calm. And so it's very difficult to plan things. But the space on the platform, I do feel, is a sort of home. It's very much the hall, the audience, for me, is really a place where I feel suddenly much better.
Despite, do you feel safe up there?
Yeah, I do.
Interesting, because most people would say it's a place of possible fear because you're about to leap into the unknown in a way, you know?
Well, the best thing is when you see the audience smile and they clap and you come on. And I think you just have to understand that they're actually there to enjoy themselves, and they've actually paid good money to enjoy themselves. It's not just that they want to hear music. They actually want to feel good, and they want to feel good from your performance.
We've talked about you traveling. You have a partner that you travel with everywhere, and that's your cello. And there are many, many horror stories about traveling with musical instruments, and I'm sure you've experienced a few things, hopefully nothing too horrible, but what are some of the great challenges, both in terms of logistics and also making the instrument feel at home, too, because that's part of it?
I think you have to start by understanding that I'm traveling with a cello which is nearly 300 years old. It's super sensitive to everything, to climate, to, you know, temperature, humidity, to any kind of thing like shock. For instance, the adjustment of the cello is a very, very fine thing. So if you should bang your cello into a door frame or something, that can alter the adjustment of the instrument. And then it cannot sound the way it's supposed to sound. So you've got this ancient old man in a very protective case, but it is affected by if you bang into something. And certainly you can't let anybody else handle it because it's your baby and it is very sensitive. And I wouldn't give anybody else that terrible responsibility of holding my life, as it were, in their hands. So I have it with me all the time. In fact, it never leaves my sight. You know, I never leave it somewhere. I need to wake up in the middle of the night and just look into the room and see that the cello is there. But when you're traveling, of course, there are lots of things you have to do. For a start, you cannot have the cello checked in with the rest of the luggage because maybe it won't arrive at all.
It would arrive in pieces.
Or it could arrive in pieces. You know, yeah. The ultimate my nightmare is to open the cello case and see sawdust at the bottom of the case or just things falling apart. And don't forget, of course, it's, I don't know how many minus degrees it is in the hold of an aircraft. I mean, it cannot deal with that.
So you have to buy a ticket.
There starts a very long and complicated story. Airlines, every single airline has a different way of booking a cello seat. And some airlines refuse to take a cello. Don't know why. I think it's a fantastically good customer, personally. Never objects, doesn't eat anything, doesn't use the toilet. You know, it's silent the whole time.
Just because it doesn't put its seat back and annoy people behind it. Yeah.
I mean, it's the perfect
traveling companion.
But they do object and they don't want it there and they get very flustered by it. And the booking department doesn't quite know how to do it. And they used to do things like book it as a person. So it would be Mr. A. Cello. And, of course, that was great fun because, I mean, I remember, for instance, traveling to Ireland and, you know, of course, the British always joke about the Irish. But then some of these things are true. For instance, I booked in, checked in, got onto the bus going to the aeroplane, and then there was an announcement. Would Mr. Cello please come back and pick up his ticket? They always assume that this cello is a Mr. A cello and they're wondering what does he look like, where is the passport, and it can cause absolute chaos. And sometimes when you're on the plane and they're counting heads, you know how they count heads to make sure that everybody's there, and then they say, there's somebody missing, and then everybody goes in a panic, we're going to have to take all the luggage off the flight, and I'm putting my hand up and saying, please, please, please understand, it's Mr. Cello you're talking about, he's here.
It's right here.
He's right here. So they changed the system like they do every now and again. So now it can't be a person. It has to be an extra seat. And then when you finally get there and security sort of gets all flustered about what they're going to do with it and should it go through the X-ray machine? Well, I prefer that
it
does. Yeah, yeah, because actually in the old days, they used to want to open it up and somebody would come and put their grubby fingers and sharp fingernails and start doing all sorts of things around the cello. And I was getting all nervous that they were going to damage it in some way. So I'm happy if it squeezes through the X-ray machine, and then at least they're not touching it. And it's fine. I'm quite sure that it's unaffected by the X-rays.
So I do have to ask, what seat does a cello get?
Well, a cello has to sit next to the window, because otherwise, if you have to get out, you can't climb over it. But every airline has a different rule. So one airline will say it has to be at a bulkhead seat. Another airline will say, no, it has to be at the back of the plane. And other ones will have to say, no, it has to be here and here. And they also change their minds every now and again. So I remember flying on one flight where everything seemed fine. And then their stewardess came up to me and she says, the cello can't be there. And I said, well, I didn't put it there. That's your airline. You put it there. And then she came back with this manual that was about 6 inches deep and flicked through this manual and showed me the rules about why I shouldn't be there. And the whole flight was me trying to say, look, you know, what do you want me to do? It's very complicated. And some airlines want you to have it upside down and some whichever way around it's going to be.
And then you have to get there and actually perform.
Yeah. And also on the way, there are all sorts of silly things that happen. I mean, you have to imagine, here I am with this big white cello case, my suitcase, my music bag, and I'm in an airport and I just desperately need to go to the loo. And so I've got to get myself into one of those cubicles with all this luggage, and I cannot get that door closed, and the cello's in the way, and there's nowhere, you know. It's those situations that can be quite stressful when you're traveling.
That's when you need a personal assistant.
Well, you know, when I joined the Fine Arts Quartet, one of the greatest beauties of that was the fact that I could go to the toilet without my cello because somebody would stay with it.
And watch it.
And watch it.
Well, hopefully travel, I don't know if travel ever will get easier for musicians and for cellists in particular, because I think it's probably one of the largest instruments that's allowed on the plane, isn't it?
Yeah.
Well, we will hear more in future on that note, but Robert Cohen, I want to thank you so much for stopping by. And are you traveling soon?
Yes, of course.
And where are you and HLO going?
Oh, we're going from here and from the U.S. back to Europe.
And touring.
Yes.
All right. Well, best of luck, and we will talk to you when you get back.
Thank you.
Lake Effect contributor Robert Cohen is an award-winning recording artist, conductor, artistic director, and the cellist for the Fine Arts Quartet. He spoke with me as part of our regular monthly segment called On That Note with Robert Cohen.
One last break, and then the last part of our series on the Milwaukee Ballet 2 program. That's when Lake Effect continues on WUWM.